Including Christmas Eve, we are going to do a number of messages concerning the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're going to start this evening in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Had the first one done, obviously I have my outline. I am working on the last one, which is Christmas Eve. We'll be having church as we normally do. And I've entitled this, Be Not Soon Shaken. Be Not Soon Shaken. We're in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 says, Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help us to have confidence in your word. We understand, we have difficulty processing the fact that you have elevated your word above your name, but that's what you've told us. And so we stand in awe this evening. To be able to hold in our hands, to be able to have it, be able to read it, and to be able to have confidence in you, in your plan, in what you've done in the past, your faithfulness to fulfill prophecy, and your faithfulness in your first coming, your death, burial, and your resurrection, and that you are coming again. May we have a great confidence in your second coming, and we'll praise you for what you do in our hearts this evening, as our confidence is built and grounded upon the unshakable foundation of the Word of our God. Thank you for what you do tonight as we look to you and to your Word in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The Bible is the Word of God. It is timeless truths for truthless times. I have an evangelist friend, he's in heaven. He used to put out a newsletter, and the subtitle was Timeless Truths for Truthless Times, and I like that. Now, the Bible is an unshakable truth. So in the second letter to the church at Thessalonica, they are in the first century. They're undergoing Roman persecution. Romans are hunting them down and killing them, feeding them to the lions, impaling them on poles, lighting them on fire while they're still alive to provide street lights for their garden parties, skinning them alive, putting them in animal skins, throwing them into the lions so that the lions will see the animal skin, smell the blood, and be even more violent. And they were thrilled to kill the Christians. And so as a result of those things going on to people that they knew and their friends, you think you've got a hard time? I don't even want to have anybody raise their hands and say, Pastor, I'm really having a bad day. I'm really having a hard time. Nothing like what they were going through in the first century. To add insult to injury, people looked at them and said, this is the tribulation period. You have missed the rapture. Christ has already returned. You are going through it. And so two letters. God had two letters written to them to say to them, be not soon shaken. Don't let this world trip you up. We beseech you, brethren, by our coming, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together with him, and speaking of the rapture, that ye be not soon shaken in mind. Don't let this rattle you. We face things going on in the day and age in which we live, and it is easy to get rattled. changing truths of our time, the wisdom that is under the sun, it is ever changing. It changes almost with the day. People have a different viewpoint or a different way or different ideas. Girls get married, and the next day guys and guys get married, and girls get married, and guys can be girls, and girls can be guys, and guys can be a dog, and you can be a cat, and you can identify as a whatever. Now that's wisdom that is under the sun. That is not wisdom that is from above. But with all those things going on, it might be when you're in the government workplace, I know that's not happening at the moment, but the last 4 years, I know several of you have talked to me about the fact that you were pushed, pressured to declare your pronouns. Insanity. I know that in some of your workplaces, that your workplace allows boys in the girls' locker room just because they say that they're... And that's the adult world. That's not even the kid world that's going on in the schools. That's wisdom under the sun. What has the world done? They have abandoned God's truth. But we have the truth. And that second verse, it's not as violent as it was, I mean, at least not for us, as it was to this group of folks. And so when Paul says to them, God says to them through the Apostle Paul, be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. Lord is going to take care of you. He's going to take care of you. We know the truth. Believers know the truth. We know that truth is not subjective. It doesn't change with every whim of society. And that just annoys. It annoys. There's a gal in the news. I didn't write this down. I should have taken some notes. I've been in the news the last couple of days. She is a med student. I want to say a junior at a... what the world would call a prestigious university, and they had a class on gender, and she quoted God's word, and they gave her a zero. So she contested the grade, and the teacher's assistant and the instructor, the professor, and the school are going round and round about this right now. What did she do? She quoted truth that does not change. She didn't change the truth. The world has changed truth, and they don't like the truth. So what happens when you get that failing grade? Now, don't be shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word as from us. Go with me to Revelation chapter 13. Say, Pastor, what in the world does this have to do with Christmas? Stay with me. We're going to get there eventually. Revelation chapter 13. Pastor, what in the world does Revelation 13 have to do with 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? I'm glad you asked that question. We're in Revelation chapter 13. There is coming a day, just as you can trust that God created, and just as you can trust that in the Old Testament God said, I will come as a baby in Bethlehem and be born. I will die. I will raise again. And he did. He raised again from the dead. Just as we have confidence in that, you can have confidence in this event that is yet to take place. We're in Revelation chapter 13. I draw your attention to verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, all without exception. Who's going to worship him? Whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, that's an interesting phrase, from the foundation of the world. Because people say, what if Adam hadn't sinned, and if God knew that Adam was going to sin, why did he create him? Well, from the foundation of the world, God had already determined that, and he knew that man was going to sin, and that it was going to require him to die, and that he was going to provide salvation, and that he was going to die on the cross before the foundation of the world, before that. And none of this took God by surprise. This isn't plan B that we're in now. This is God's plan, slain from the foundation of the world. And they that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. This is the unsaved culture right now that rejects God, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain When was that determined? Before the foundation of the world. Before Adam, before Eve, before sin, God knew that he was going to have to die. And that's a level of love that is difficult for us to comprehend. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. So here's Christ, again, before man, before sin, before Adam, before Eve, before the foundation of the world. God saying, he knew that we were going to sin, and he knew that it was going to require him to die. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest. Well, manifest is a word we looked at Sunday. What does manifest mean? Clearly observable, seen to the eye. You can see God was manifest. They could see it in these last times for you. Who by him do believe in God. I know that you do. That raised him up from the dead. And he did. And gave him glory. And that your faith and hope might be in government. No. Might be in Social Security. No. Might be in a conservative Supreme Court. No. Might be in a utopia. No. That your faith and hope might be in God. God. From time to time, a young person will ask me to sign their Bible. Sometimes an older person will, and I'll sign their Bible, and I write underneath my name, Psalm 118, verse 8, better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Because man will fail you, but God will not. Hope in God. Hope in God, that ye might, and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth, through the Spirit, with unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. And that's not changing, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is as the flower of grass. And we've been memorizing that fact on Sunday morning. Brother Dan has been helping you to do that. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But not this book. Not this book. The word of God endureth forever. And this is a word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Now we sing the song. We don't pay much attention to the words when we sing. But we do sing the song. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can be said than to you, God hath said to you, who for refuge to Jesus have fled. Turn me back to Ephesians chapter 1. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. You spent time in God's word today? You want to have an unshakable faith? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, So here's God, before the foundation of the world, not chosen to be saved. Not like this is not Calvinism. I mean, Calvinism would choose these verses. This is God before the foundation of the world determined that you could be saved, and that when you did when you did accept Christ as your Savior, that you should do what? You should be holy and without blame before Him. That's not written to the individual. This is written to the church at Ephesus, and talking to them as a group. God determined before the foundation of the world that when you trust Christ as your Savior, that you're going to live a holy life. Do you live a holy life? Do you strive to do that? According as He has chosen us in Him for the foundation of the world, we should be holy without blame before Him in love, having predestined us unto... Well, people say, well, that's such salvation. No, it's not what it says. Be predetermined before the foundation of the world that you, mankind, could be adopted into the family of God. The adoption of children by Jesus Christ, not by baptism, not by church membership, but by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise and glory of His grace, wherein He hath accepted, made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Again, you go back before the foundation of the world. God knew that we were going to sin, but God had a plan to redeem us, adopt us as sons. You trust Christ as your Savior. What is that? Be not soon shaken in mind. One unshakable truth. Which brings us to one inseparable truth. You wonder when we're going to get here. Turn with me back to Luke chapter 2. I love Luke chapter 2. I have read it several times this week. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. What is Luke chapter 2? Luke chapter 2 is the first coming of Jesus Christ. It's not when He came into existence. There are some that would say He became into existence right here, before the foundation of the world. He always was. Christmas season is inseparable from your salvation. Listen, we see, what do we see? You go down the road. The world is just such a mess today. So don't be shaken in mind. But there is a church. I won't tell you the name of the church. I won't tell you where it is. They took Jesus and Mary and Joseph out of the manger scene, and they put a sign there that said that they had been taken by ice. The parishioners, obviously, are a little bit upset that they are making a mockery of who God is and why He came. The world has a problem. What should they be doing? They may be putting a cross out there and saying to people, Christ came with the purpose of dying. So you go back before the foundation of the world, God determined, before we were created, before the world was, before there was Adam and Eve, before there was sin, God determined, He knew that He was going to die, the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He was going to provide that method of salvation. And when He came in Bethlehem, you cannot separate the babe in Bethlehem from the Christ of the cross. They are one and the same. They are the same truth. You are not going to hear that from Hollywood. We are in the Christmas season. You will not hear much about the reason for the season that Jesus Christ came with the purpose of dying, and He determined that He was going to do that before the foundation of the world. He knew that that was going to happen, and the reason He came was to die on Calvary's cross. You will not hear that from Hollywood. You can watch the Hallmark Channel. Hallmark Channel, I understand, has 2 months worth of Christmas movies. But there's not anything about Christ. There's giving gifts and getting engaged and falling in love. It's Hallmark, right? So I'm not saying they're anti-family movies. I'm just saying they have zero to do with Christmas. Zero. They can call them a Christmas movie. They can do the Christmas spirit, put a Christmas tree, have a wedding ring, and have people fall in love. But Christmas is about the Lamb before the foundation of the world that came in the first coming. We've been talking a lot about the second coming in the book of Revelation, but the first coming in Bethlehem was born as a baby for the purpose of dying on Calvary's cross, raising from the dead, and then returning. The second coming of Jesus Christ. Boy, I'll tell you what, on television, they'll light Christmas trees. We're going to light some Christmas trees. Maybe we already have. President's going to light one. Congress is going to light one. Mrs. Bishop loves to walk around. Every year, I know she loves to do that. I'll get her in the car, and it might be after church. We'll drive over to Washington, D.C., put on our bulletproof vests and our flak jackets I'm teasing just a little bit. And we'll park over there, and we'll walk around and look at all the one year it was after church on Sunday night, and we got over there. We were crossing the street we were walking up to, and they turned all the lights off. Okay, not seen it this year. And so we turned around and went, I think it's the Willard that's there, and went and looked at their Christmas trees instead. But you won't hear much about Christ Child from Capitol Hill, that Jesus Christ came to die. I don't think I've heard the president or first lady at the lighting of the Christmas tree say, hey, this is a reminder that Jesus Christ came as a baby to die on the cross for the sins of mankind. It's just not a message that is propagated by the world, but it is propagated by the Word. Once in a while, they'll even sing a Christmas carol. Silver bells, silver bells, it's Christmas time in the city. Well, what does that have to do with Christ? It might make you feel good, but not going to take care of the sin problem. One exception. There is one exception that comes to mind. There may be more than one. One exception comes to mind, and that's Charlie Brown. The old Charlie Brown, Peanuts Christmas special, they recite Luke's gospel. And it's interesting read, if you want to read the drama that went on behind the scenes. They read that, but didn't tell the brass that they were going to do that. And when the brass was watching that special and heard Luke chapter 2 being recited, they had a meltdown. Heaven forbid, somebody should share the truth, the inseparable truth. We have an unshakable truth, and it is inseparable. The coming of Christ is inseparable from the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and the return of Christ. You want to really upset people? Just pray in Jesus' name. Man, they don't like that. They want you to separate that truth, to be inclusive. In Luke chapter 2, look at verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. An ambassador? No. A president? No. A king? No, because that's not what the world needed. The world needed a savior. It's not Muhammad. It's not Joseph Smith. Jesus Christ. It's a very, very important verse. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord. We have one unshakable truth. Inseparable truth cannot be separated. But here's the ugly reality. the world will acknowledge the babe in the manger. You can drive, you can probably drive in every direction and see someone with a babe in the manger scene. People don't have a problem with that. They have a problem with the risen Christ. They try to separate that. That's the ugly reality. We'll embrace the season. We'll put up a manger scene. We'll put up the nativity. But we're not going to acknowledge. I'll tell you what. We're just going to ignore. Just ignore it. But hey, we're Christians. We shouldn't ignore it. We should not ignore the fact that Jesus Christ came. Look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Now here's Nicodemus. Who is he? He's a ruler of the Jews. Is he coming to Jesus for salvation? He calls him great master, great teacher. But Jesus said unto him, verse 3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Who is Nicodemus? He was a guy that talked about it, walked about it, wrote about it, knew about it. And you go to Matthew chapter 2, 2 years later, after the birth of Christ, the wise men are traveling through and they go and they inquired of the scribes and Pharisees, what's this prophecy? Man, they knew it. They knew about it. They knew about Christ. They knew about the coming. They knew about the babe, but they just didn't act on it. Look at verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, what is Jesus doing? And again, this is an inseparable truth. Jesus Christ came. You must be born again. And where does he go? He goes right to the crucifixion. And they crucified yet, but he will. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up on a cross. When was that determined? Before the foundation of the world, the Lamb slain. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And at Christmas, we're going to do this all month. At Christmas, it is imperative. We'll do it from different scriptures. That we make the connection. I'm not opposed to Christmas cards. I'll send out a bunch. Right, to all our missionaries, they'll get a Christmas card, a Christmas letter from the preacher. I'll tell them what we've been doing this year, what God is doing in the life of our church. I expect them to communicate with us. I absolutely communicate with them. I'm not opposed to Christmas cards. I'm not opposed to Christmas trees. I have a Christmas tree in my house. I did not help put it up. I will help take it down. I'm not opposed to Christmas wreaths. I'm not opposed to anything. Not opposed to giving gifts. What are you going to get Mrs. Bishop for Christmas? Whatever she wants. But I am opposed to pretending like Jesus Christ doesn't exist. The shepherds embraced this unshakable truth. We are in Luke chapter 2. We'll not go back there. They came and saw the babe. Then they returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Matthew chapter 2, the scribes, verse 4 through 6, the scribes and the Pharisees knew the scripture, but not the marvelous truth of who Christ was. Before the foundation of the world, the Lamb slain, to go to the cross, to pay the sin debt, to rise again. They knew about it, but they had not embraced him. So have you received the gift? Pastor, that Holy Spirit and tongues. Oh my goodness. The gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God is not speaking in tongues. gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Last scripture, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And all this revelation, Bethlehem, the cross, it should all come together as a tightly framed puzzle. The pieces all intertwined and fitting together. You know that satisfaction you get when you're putting the puzzle together and I want the last piece, man, and you put it in that spot. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. This is the rapture. And the tribulation is a second coming of Jesus Christ. We've talked about that. We'll not go to those scriptures this evening. But in Christmas 2025, we should understand that before we were made, God knew that we were going to sin and that he was going to die. And he did. And that he was going to rise again. And he did it as he said. We should celebrate and understand and comprehend that the first coming is not going to prevent the second coming. And the first coming, just as he said he was going to come, and that was his promise, that we should have confidence in that second coming. I will come again, and he will. Father, I thank you for the promises of your word. I pray that this Christmas season, that this group in this room would not be soon shaken in mind, and not be troubled, not be distracted, and that we would not minimize or just plain ignore the Christ of the cross and the reason you came. And we'll thank you and praise you for your salvation throughout all eternity. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Nelson, while I got your attention,